All right. Happy Father's Day. Praise the Lord. Here we are. Man, the weather couldn't be better for us. It is a beautiful, beautiful day. We have Father's Day presents for all the men today. And I think they're edible, which is the best kind of present, really, that we're looking for. That's it. You'll get one of those on the way out. Mrs. Buck, are they out there, ready to go? Okay, great. And appreciate those that put that together. And we are thankful for that. Really appreciate our dads. On Mother's Day, we certainly honor moms. All too often thankless job. Gentlemen, I want to also recognize that you are the cornerstone of it all. As you lead and as you guide, so goes your family. And many of you are the recipient of a godly man in your life, to which you should be thankful. And I want to encourage you to be thankful for the dads that you have and the influence that they have had in your life. So make sure you thank the Lord for that today. There's not a lot of sports on TV. It was close. I almost watched soccer the other day. That was for you, Grandpa Haight. That was for you. They're talking baseball coming back. So if you go to ESPN, they have different, not much to talk about sports. But remember the World's Strongest Man competitions? They would take these, like, telephone poles, and they would throw them as far as they could. It was like, I was watching it the other day. I saw a clip of it. And these two guys are playing volleyball, but with this giant medicine ball. And they just take it, and they throw it over the thing, and the guy gets it, and then he's got to throw it back. And there was another one. There was this wall between the two guys. They had this 300-pound rock, and they just pick it and lift it up. And the other guy picks it and puts it over. And you win when the other guy can't pick it up and put it over the wall. Feats of strength. What is strength? Where does it come from? And our life is a... The message this morning is the strength of a godly man. So the question is, where does our strength come from? I brought a couple things here today. Try not to hurt myself, but this is heavy. Brother Rice. Where's Sam? Sam, you use these. Where are they? Where is he? He's in the back. Yeah, no kidding. We do not want to put... This is 25 pounds. And feats of strength. Is this what makes a godly man? If this is it, then I'm missing out. No offense. Is this where strength comes from? Is it book knowledge? I pulled a book out of our library. Probably all of you have read it. I'm a little late to the party. Select Documents of English Constitutional History.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, memorized it. I'm afraid a moth is going to fly out when I open it. There's people that actually know this stuff. Is it knowledge that makes you strong? This past week, we looked at knowledge puffeth up. I had to borrow this. $100 bill. My strength is in my resources. We feel like if we could write a check, we could get out of anything. If I just had enough of this, I can do anything. Is that where your strength is? Printed a travel brochure. Remember travel agencies? This is selling a trip to Cape Town, South Africa. Come join us. See the beautiful... If I just had some experiences, I'd have strength. I'm here to tell you that the world will try and convince you that these things here are what you should be putting your effort towards. that your strength comes from how much you lift. Your strength will come from how much you own. Your strength will come from how much you know or how much you've done. And it gets the man off of godly principles. I don't think it's bad to be strong. Last Saturday we were doing breaks and I had to call Mr. Seatman in because there was a bolt that just would not comply. It made it look so easy too. It's so humbling. Veins that, like, I think I pulled something in my neck trying to get it. I broke the tool. I broke our tool. He comes in, he's like, he does it, he's like, oh. He moves a little bit and got it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be strong. I'm not saying you shouldn't read. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be wise with your funds. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't go and do things. But I'm here to tell you that that is not where godly strength comes from. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through it. Lord, help us with these things, whether man or woman, that we would look at these things and recognize that our strength comes from a relationship with you. Lord, help us. Lord, help us not to get distracted with what the world has to offer. Help us to not fall trap and prey to the ways of the world. Lord, we love you and we are thankful for your patience and kindness with us. Thank you for being such a great and perfect example. Lord, help us as we open up your word now that you'd speak to our hearts. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're taking notes this morning, it's going to be an easy message. We have 3 points. Number one, the strength of a godly man comes from a relationship with the Savior. A relationship with the Savior. John chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 10 says this: He is in the world and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For a man to be, for any person, but specifically for a man to be a godly man, it has got to start with a relationship with the Savior. And what kind of relationship is that? It's a parental relationship. What does he say? He calls the dads sons. Because he is our Heavenly Father. And he says, because of that, he's equipped us with some power. Say, where does that strength come from? Where is true strength of a man? You can't go anywhere else but through Christ. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at a bunch of verses. If you miss one, just write it down and come back to it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says this: For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A relationship with the Savior is a parental relationship. He says that ye are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Two very intimate words there. Adoption. I have 5 children. I didn't pick one of them. I didn't go through a line and say, all right, I'll take a boy. He's going to be, all right, I'll take another boy. I'll take 2 girls. God just gave us children. Treasures and gifts beyond measure, yes. But God, knowing what we were, adopted us into His family. Chose us. Picked us. So you don't understand. I'm a mess. He says, I'll take the mess. I want to make you my child. What a blessing that is. And look at the second intimate word here. It says Abba. That translates in the English to kind of like daddy. If I'm in a room and all of a sudden I hear footsteps coming and, hey, dad! I'm a little slower to answer. Because I know there's about to be some tattling, or I want something. And I actually try and hide when I hear, "Hey, Dad! Dad!" But when I'm sitting on the couch and my little daughter comes up and snuggles up next and says, "Daddy, whoo, you have my attention. What sort of sweetness do you want?" Hey, if you're going to be a godly man, if you're going to be a strong godly man, you better have a relationship, a parental relationship with God Himself. You are the Son. He is the Father. And He's adopted you into His family. Look at this. In verse 16, it says this: "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And what a blessing to get in on that family. Some of you sit here and go, "Oh, I wish the Rockefellers would adopt me. Oh, I wish Bill Gates would adopt me. I wish Mark Zuckerberg would adopt me. I wish Elon Musk would adopt me." Why? Because then I'd have access to all their riches. How about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How about the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? How about the one that spoke all this into existence? You want to talk about strength and power, having access, being an heir to that Father? Bill Gates is but a shadow. Doesn't even show up on the radar. Relationship with God Himself. It's a parental relationship. As we read through the book of 1 John, 9 times does He call us little children. He's talking to adults. He just wants to keep in our mind, hey, let's remember your position. You're the child. He's the Father. Galatians 3. In verse 26. Relationship with the Savior. You want biblical strength? You want to be a godly, strong man? You better have a relationship with God Himself. You know, as of late, there's been a... I don't think I'm stepping out of line by saying that there has been a lot of racial tension. Do we not agree? And some old pictures and old things are coming up. And I saw a picture of, an interaction between a business owner and a person. And they were telling them, "We don't serve your kind here." And that breaks your heart. That's completely ungodly. That is completely wrong on every level. I know those things happened in the past, but it still hurts to see that. It's sad in our hearts. Imagine coming to God with your sins and asking Him to forgive you, and He says, "I'm sorry, I just don't deal with that kind." In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, He says this: "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Let's not get this wrong. Just because you were born doesn't mean you're His child, but through faith. But no matter who comes to Christ through faith, you're His child. You don't have to have the physical strength. You don't have to have the knowledge. You don't have to have the money. You don't have to have the experiences. He says, all. He is inclusive. Sometimes in our little minds, we get exclusive. Sometimes we say, "Well, I found this and I'm going to keep it for myself." God says, "I have the greatest thing that anybody could ever want, and I want everybody to have it." And it never runs out. It is a parental relationship. Ye are all the children of God by faith. The strength of a godly man starts with a relationship with the Savior because it's a parental relationship. Secondly, under the relationship with the Savior, number two, it's an eternal relationship with Him. Look at John chapter 6. Say, how long are we going to be here? That's a great question. When we're done. You know, we've been dying to get back into church. Now we're in the church and people are checking their watches. Kind of got used to sitting on the couch. Kind of got used to muting you. Kind of got used to fast-forwarding you. John chapter 6 and verse 40. I don't think any of that's true. I just made that up. John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Not only is it a parental relationship, but the Bible says it's an eternal relationship. It's everlasting. The strength of a godly man comes from having relationship with God Himself and saying, well, that sometimes that relationship is good and not so good. You know, my kids have friends, and sometimes, hey, how are things? Oh, we're kind of on a down cycle. And oh, we're on a great cycle. And now we're, you know, sometimes the earthly relationships, they go up and down. They go up and down. With God, He says, I'm going to give you a relationship, and I'm going to call it, oh, how about for eternity? We have a relationship with God Himself for eternity. Everlasting life. Simple pleasure of mine is to watch old movies. And I'm not sure how old this is, but Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. What Gene Wilder won with the little gobstoppers. Everlasting gobstoppers. You know how bad as a kid I wanted an everlasting gobstopper? Because I like gobstoppers, and then the thought that there's one that would go forever. Hey, I'm going to give you the greatest gift ever, and I'm going to make it last forever. I'm going to have a relationship with you, whether you look at me in my face and say you don't want it anymore, or I. It's everlasting life. And it's not based on you, and it's not based, but it's based on God Himself. Everlasting relationship. It's a personal relationship. John chapter 14 and verse 6, a familiar verse. Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what? We each need it. We, every single person, it says, no man. Do you see that? That's plural, or singular. That means it's an interaction between God and an individual. Well, my parents did. Doesn't matter. There's only one way you can get to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. It is a personal relationship. If you personally have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your church membership, if you did, if you had $1 million and you gave it all to the Red Cross, that doesn't get you in. It's a relationship with Christ. If you got baptized, doesn't matter. Baptism doesn't save you. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone to take away your sin. He says, I am the way. You know what? It's a narrow way. I am the truth, He says. Indicating that there's false ways out there. He says, and I am the life. Sin brings about death, but Christ brings life. Fourthly, in our relationship with God. Number one, we saw it was a parental relationship, eternal relationship, a personal relationship, and a scriptural relationship. I know about God, do you know how? Through this book. I can go out to the pond and I can look at the algae and say, oh, is that God speaking to me? No, it's not. It's just an arrangement of algae. Did you see my toast? I toasted it. It looks like Jesus' face. Coincidence. He doesn't speak to us through algae arrangement or toast or the stars or the birds. No, He speaks to us through His Word. And we know about God by what He has revealed about Himself to us. This is the basis of our relationship. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, all those things can bring Him glory and all of that. Don't get me wrong. Say, oh, does nature... No, nature points us to God. I get it. But you understand that what we know about the Savior and God comes from this Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. That's why the world wants to get rid of your Bible. You understand that, right? That's why the science classes try from day one to undo this. Why? Because then if I get rid of the highest authority in all of the universe, then I can be the authority. That's a power struggle. You understand that, right? That was extra, Mr. Parrott. That was bonus, all right? Okay. That wasn't even in my notes. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. My son told me this past morning. He goes, you know, your messages have been getting a little bit longer each week. Yeah, I know. I get it. I'm getting back into it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Look, in, by the time we get to verse 14, that's our key verse. I give thee charge in the sight of God, verse 13, who quickeneth all things. That means made alive. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep, look at this now, this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, how do I know about Jesus? How do I? Because I've got his commandments on it. Look at this, verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed. How do I know he's the blessed? Through his commandments. And only potentate, and the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. How do I know that? Through this book. How do I have a relationship with God? Through this book. I know what to pray because of this book. I know what to say because of this book. I know who God is and I know who I am because of this book. The relationship with God himself. It's a parental relationship. It's an eternal relationship. It's a personal relationship and it's a scriptural relationship. That is the foundation for a strong, godly man. But because of that relationship with God, what makes a godly man? What makes a strong godly man? Number one, his relationship with the Savior. But number two, his relationship, listen now, with sin. Say, what do you mean with sin? I thought 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How strong the godly man is how much he disdains sin. You're going to greatly struggle. You're going to be weak if you don't know how to handle sin. Because it's going to be temptation and there's going to be calls on your life to sin. How you handle that, I don't care how much you can lift. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I don't care how many books you've read. Can you say no to sin? Because we're looking for godly men. Strong godly men. James chapter 4 and verse 6. James 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Man, I love that verse. Isn't that good? If we just stop there for a second. James 4, 6 says, but he giveth more grace. In my Bible, I don't know. Anybody? It has a period after that, right? It's just kind of like, think about that for a second. But he giveth more grace. No thought after that. I mean, there's certainly a thought in the verse, but that's true. He does give more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What's your relationship with sin? Have you been cleansed? The first thought under our relationship with sin is that, have we been cleansed? Say, man, I asked the Lord to forgive me yesterday. Can I show you Revelation chapter 2? Revelation chapter 2. He's talking to the church of Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2. Aren't you glad you have your Bibles here this morning, flipping through? Look at all these great verses. Man, the Word of God is powerful. He talks about, God tells us about everything. The only reason we don't do right is because we choose not to do right, not because we didn't have the information. Talking to some people a couple weeks ago, and they were their business was kind of surprised by some of the guidelines that they just were unaware of. We're not going to get to heaven and go, I'm sorry, I just didn't know. No, He gave it all to us. Praise the Lord for wisdom and direction from the Word of God. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And what's that next word? Repent. That means I'm going this way, I turn, and now I'm going this way. It's a 180. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God says, hey, I got no place for those that harbor sin when they're aware of it in their life. It's an ongoing process. Hey man, what's your relationship with sin? Well, a couple years ago I asked the Lord to forgive me of that. Yeah, it's ongoing. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. What makes a godly man? His ability to handle his sin. Not to toy with it. Not to play with it, but to get rid of it. Say, oh, asking for forgiveness is a weakness. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. God says, I like it so much that when you get right with me, and when you're honest with me, and when you're clean with me, that I'm going to give you something extra. Not just my grace, but I'm going to give you mercy. What does that mean? I'm not going to hold you accountable for all that you did. How many of you here needs mercy? Woo! Absolutely. That's a sign of weakness. Actually, that's a sign of great strength. Some of the hardest words you'll ever have to say is, I'm sorry. Or you'll have to go through the effort of trying to make those things right. It is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. It is what makes your way prosperous. He says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So I take the antithesis, the opposite. So he that confesseth his sin shall prosper. It is a prosperous way. Prosperity. No, how about asking God for forgiveness? Being clean and right with Him. Understanding your relationship with sin. It's cleansing, it's ongoing, it's a prosperous way. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. What makes a strong, godly man? His relationship with the Savior, but understanding his relationship towards sin. Romans 16:17 says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And avoid them, it says. Avoid them. Hey, there's a way that the world goes that I, as a godly man, should look at and go, that's not a good path for me. That road leads to a place of destruction and hurts and sin and problems. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. And there's people trying to pull me that way. It's protecting. Being aware of what sin is protecting for you and your family. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Look at now, the last phrase says, and not after Christ. There's a way that's contrary to the godly man, and it's constantly pulling at you. It's called sin. And gentlemen, if you are unable to control your sin, you are weak. Say, don't we all struggle with this? Yes, but the more you have an understanding, and the more you have an awareness, and the more you keep clean, do you understand that you will be stronger? Say, well, I can lift cars. No, you'll be able to fulfill what God has planned for you. Ephesians chapter 5. If you have a friend that's trying to pull you away from the Lord, that the activities that they're about is not godly, hey, that's not a good friend. The Bible says to mark them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have, look at now, no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Shameful. Dads, maybe you're sitting there this morning, gentlemen, young men. What's it take to be a strong man? Number one, the deeper your relationship with God is, the stronger you are. And because of that relationship with God, it lends itself to teach you how to handle sin. We ought not to flirt with that. We ought not to handle that. We ought not to, can we take fire in the bosom and not be burned? No. The ability to say no. Your physical discipline and your spiritual discipline are parallel. Say, I don't like that. That means if I don't take care of myself physically, there's a chouncethat I'm not going to take care of myself spiritually. How we do anything is how we do everything. And if we have the inability to say no to the flesh, it's, hey, you want to help yourself? Start controlling your mind with godly things. Start controlling your body with godly things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Pastor Huber's life verses. I understand it. Out of all the verses to pick, I get these. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says this, "Now all these things happened unto them for end samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." What happens? Hey, pay attention. There's a way that you may think you're doing good and you've lied to yourself. You're being lied to because you are unaware or not dealing with your sin. Therefore, have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You sin because you choose to sin. The only sin in your life is the sin you've placed there, because God makes a way to get out. The deeper the relationship with Him, the better our relationship towards sin will be. Does it mean we won't sin? No. But we'll be more aware of it. I think it's a much stronger man, not that can bench press his weight, not that has $1 million in the bank, but a man that can say no to the temptations of the flesh. Romans 13:14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Proverbs, while you look there, I'm going to read you Proverbs 16:32. Bible says, "He that is slow to anger is mighty, is better than the mighty." I'm going to read that again. He that is slow to anger, what does that mean? He's able to control his spirit, not go to anger, not go to sin. He that can control not stepping into the realms of sin is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. What would it take for a physical human to overtake a city. Great physical strength. He says, no, it's stronger. One that can rule his own spirit. Let's not forget that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 says this. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Follow faith. Follow charity. Follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee those things. Stay away from it. Hey, what's your relationship with sin? Oh, we're close. You don't want that. Oh, what's your relationship towards lust and the works of the flesh? Oh, we're buddies. Show me a young man that can say no to sin, and I'll show you a strong man. Not because of how much they can weigh or lift or what they've read or how much money they have or the experiences that they've gone through. Because they can control their flesh and spirit. Show me a dad that can say, no, this is not coming into my house. And all the kids are, please, Dad, we want this. No. It's ungodly, it's worldly, it's staying out. I'll show you a strong man. A godly strong man. Where's your filter, Dad? Thirdly, and lastly, number one, the strength of a godly man comes from his relationship with the Savior. Number two, it comes from his relationship towards sin. But number three, because of the relationship with the Savior, we understand sin. We understand what it does. Anybody been hurt by sin before? A couple hands? All right. Relationship with the Savior, relationship towards sin. But thirdly, because of our relationship with the Savior, now not only do I understand sin, but I have an understanding of, listen, other souls. Relationship with souls. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. In James 5:20, it says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Tell me which one of these resources, a book representing earthly knowledge and experience and finances and physical strength, can do that. Can do what James 5:20 says. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Can any of this save a soul from death? Not at all. It's just not powerful enough. Oh, if I gave enough money to the church, I can get into heaven. Lies! If I'm wise enough, I will reach a level of nirvana and lies. I'll show you a godly strong man that has compassion towards souls. See, it's just getting on the same page as God Himself. Loving others and hating sin and accepting His Son. That's it. And we try every which way to cut corners and every which way to go around the things that we know are true and right to get the same results. Can't have it. There's no one person any more or any less important to God Almighty. So how do you know that? Because He died for the whole world. All are important and all are sinners. For all have sinned. No one's good enough to get to heaven and no one's bad enough to stay out. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're almost done. We've got two or three more verses. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, he's telling Jeremiah, he says, before you were even born, I knew you. I had a plan for you. Do you know that that doesn't just work for Jeremiah? That works for each and every individual here. Jeremiah 1:5. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. Each person is important. Each soul is important. You want to see a strong man? There's a man that cares about the lost. Cares about humanity and people. Aren't selfish and just so self-centered that all they care about is themselves. No, that they're aware that there's souls around them. Because one day they're going to walk into heaven. And there's going to be a multitude of people that have been positively influenced and are there because of their sacrifice. That's great strength. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? Well, that just throws out some doctrine, doesn't it? No, you're in, you're out. Who will have all men to be saved? No, I have not chosen you to be saved. That's garbage doctrine, just let me say. That Calvinism's coming back around. They don't call it Calvinism anymore. It's called Reformed theology, and it's a lie. You understand that, okay? Just so we're clear on what God says, who will have all men to be saved? God is not willing that any should perish. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God doesn't say, I want you. I'm sorry, you can't. Salvation is a choice. Yes, I need the Holy Spirit of God to certainly reveal Himself. That was bonus too, Brother Parrott. That wasn't even in here. But there's certain topics that people are spreading doctrine out there that's not true. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Look at, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Each person is important. Each person Christ died for. And if me as a man can get on that and say, I'm the most important thing, you're a weak man. Souls are important. People are important. And all too often we give way too much time to this, and this, and even this, and experiences, and we fail to recognize the souls that are around us. Two more verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So, Pastor, you seem a little edgy this morning. Well, number one, I'm drinking black coffee. That'll just mess you up. Number two, there's just too much lies about what a godly man is. What a man ought to be. And the world is teaching our men to be sissies and effeminate and all of this that is so contrary to the Scriptures that it's disheartening and sad to me. What we just need to do is get back to the Scriptures. We need to implement the Word of God in our homes, in our own lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Look at now. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What are we looking for? We're looking for some faithfulness. Faithfulness to souls. Not quitting when it gets hard. Well, this is difficult. I quit. You're weak. I understand calling in and getting help. But we don't turn on the things of God because it's hard. Last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're trying to direct our men in a way of godliness. Gentlemen, do any of your wives have like scripture verses around the house? Anybody have those? Yes? Mr. Parrott, your wife's got like a scripture verse or something? Anybody else have those? Yeah, you have those? And they're nice. They're like, and the peace of God will be with you always. And, you know, the joy of the Lord is here. And they say nice things. You need a verse like this. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Get it in your den. In your, any guys have man caves or whatever? I don't, but it'd be neat to have this verse. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Where's that verse hanging on our walls? 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. What does that mean? Don't move. Quit ye like men. Hey, stand strong. We're looking for, God's looking for some godly men that would stand up for what is right. There's a bunch of men that just turn tail and run the minute it gets hard. You know what that tells me? They got no relationship with God. Man, they fall constantly over and over. And I understand the reality of sin and the difficulty of sin. But the deeper your relationship with God is, the better your relationship towards sin will be. And then how about your care for souls, others? Take the focus off yourself and look towards others. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. The test of a godly man. How's your strength with, how's your relationship with God Himself? Well, we have this interesting relationship. Whenever I need Him, I just ask. You need Him all the time. How's your relationship with sin? It's great. No, then you'll not have a good relationship with sin. It weakens you, men. It weakens you. Makes you unable to do, fulfill what God has called you to do. And there's nothing that the world and the devil would want more than to get you out of it and reproduce ungodly men. How's your relationship with souls? Let's all stand.